This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, welcome to the Chelsea Fancast Friday night preview show, a very special and big one tonight. Why? Well, it's Friday and it's 7 o'clock-ish. No, it's the FA Cup final tomorrow and yet again Chelsea are in it and I am very excited and I'm sure so is Jonathan Kidd.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Chidge.
Yeah, hello, Jonathan.
I'm really excited.
Through the square window today?
Yeah, it's the round window, actually. And I tried putting my head through it, and it's got bars on it. I don't know why.
I can think of a few reasons.
Yeah, so can I. Yes, I am elated and excited to be at another cup final, but as we were debating just before we started, do I wear my thermal underwear? Because it's going to be so bloody freezing.
Oh, mate, no.
But, even though it's May. But I am, as we've established on Twitter, very old. So
being that ruffled man. Your feathers a bit, didn't it?
For those that not in the know, some bloke called, I don't even want to call him a name and I give him any credit, Simon said that old bloke put a jinx on Chelsea by saying they'd win 4-0. Who was it? And somebody got it wrong and said it's Chidgey. And Chidge rather magnanimously said, you know, not me, Governor, it's Jonathan Kidd.
I grassed you up, mate.
For grassing me up completely. Yeah, great. Thank you. And I'm afraid I told him to fuck off, which I thought was really quite, it's not normal of me. I normally say, oh, well, everybody has a view, you know, oh, well, nice. But I thought, I'm not having this. I'm sorry, that old bloke.
You did get a lot of crying with laughter emojis as a result, though. So well
from
done.
You,
not
well, from you.
A lot of other people, too.
Oh, really? Did they? Oh, good. Thank you. It's good to get a response, yeah. But I'm slightly worried I'll now just swear at people every time they make any kind of...
No, don't worry. Listen, old bean, we're tight for time tonight. So whoever...
Just let me say, yes, I'm elated, but at the same time, absolutely scared shitless about what's going to happen after the result of the week.
I am. Who have we got on the show tonight, JK?
Oh, God. Who have we got on the show tonight? Well, we've got the gloriously erudite and interesting Adam Newsome from football.london, who... it's becoming a regular, and may I say the show is enhanced by having him on. So good stuff. Well done, Adam.
It always is. We also have Dean Mears with us. He of Went to Mow King's Meadow and Chelsea Fancast fame. But Dean has disappeared momentarily, but I'm sure he will return anon. Let's get straight into it. I mean, obviously, we're going to have a little bit of a talk about the Arsenal match from Wednesday, I'm afraid. And then we'll try and get anything else we can squeeze into this first part. And then we've got the lovely Jake Watson from TalkSport joining us for the opposition view tonight. He's a big Leicester City fan and he's a producer at TalkSport, but he often presented our Love Sports show on a Friday when we're at Love Sports. So it's lovely to, it will be lovely to speak to him again. And then, of course, in part three, we will do our own preview of the FA Cup final tomorrow. But before all of that, I kind of kicked this off, Adam, with a load of arse. I mean, everybody was so miffed about the result against Arsenal on Wednesday. And it was quite interesting because we were in the Discord group. There was a lot of people who just couldn't understand how foul-mouthed and grumpy I was with everybody in there. I mean, you think Jonathan was sour-faced and grumpy. Like, you should have seen me in Discord. I was coating everybody off who in the group, not the players. I was so grumpy. But the reason is because I hate Arsenal, and I had to endure us losing to Arsenal for so many years, and I cannot bear losing to them now. And in particular, the worst Arsenal side I have seen in living memory. But what was the view from the press box?
The view from the press box, I was actually talking to Liam Twomey about this beforehand, and he said that obviously Chelsea haven't played well against Arsenal for about 4 years, to which my reply was, I'm actually quite confident about this game, to be honest with you, Liam. So there you go. Bow down to Liam's far superior feeling there.
I'm going to take issue with Liam on one point. Baku, anybody?
I think he made a fair point that Chelsea really just turned up for a half in that game and completely blew Arsenal away in one half rather than a 90-minute performance. So, you know, I understood what Liam was saying. Yeah, it was hugely disappointing Wednesday night. Just obviously the big momentum that had been built up after City, the good feeling and the sort of almost sure feeling that Chelsea were going to finish in the top four has been very much eroded by that game. It wasn't a great performance. So I thought it was really, really interesting, actually, that in his interview with Sky before the game, when the interviewer mentioned he had made 7 changes, that he was surprised. Mm. He didn't even realise he'd made that many changes. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, OK, that's a problem. Because he seemed genuinely sort of surprised and taken aback by it. And if that's the head coach, then if he's feeling that, it's probably going to bleed through to the first team and the players. So it was a poor performance. And
how hadn't he noticed that he'd made these 7 changes?
I'm assuming maybe because one of them was Kepa, and then perhaps was it because Zuma came on against City sort of back into the first half. So he played the whole of the second half. So maybe that's kind of where it was that he didn't necessarily realise. But you know, the team he put out still had enough. More than enough in it to win that game. It's just that, Chelsea didn't turn up. And they've had a couple of these wake-up calls and they've always responded to them under Tuchel so far. So fingers crossed that that's the case.
The time of the season to do that was just absolutely dreadful.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But let's be honest, I don't think anybody, apart from maybe Kepa's inclusion, really, I don't think was too grumbly about the side that he picked. Because the thing is that Tuchel's pretty much played. I mean, I understand what Tuchel and Adam were saying, that he was surprised that he'd made 7 changes, probably also because he's played so many of those players recently. So it wasn't like he was picking a team where people, you know, most of the team hadn't played for 2 months. And you're right. I think it was a good enough team to beat Arsenal. Here's the thing, JK. I don't want to hang around with this one too much longer. Jorginho had a brain fart, but was Kepa at fault too?
Well, everybody has said, I was reading everybody's reaction on Twitter. We're all saying, no, he was doing the right thing. No, he was by the post because everybody knows you don't ever do a back pass straight on goal. And I was thinking, I've never, ever, ever thought of that in my life. If the goalkeeper you think is going to be
a bit like the Rooney rule, it's the Jorginho rule, perhaps they've invented,
well,
you know.
Well, no, but I thought he just passed back to the goalkeeper. I don't think the goalkeeper should be standing that far left of the goal. I'm afraid I thought it was completely, completely Kepa's fault. But I felt I better not put it on Twitter. I'm going to be shouted down by everybody saying, you don't know what's supposed to happen.
Maybe they would have told you to go and F yourself, mate.
Yeah, they probably would have done. I think that would have been the case. Absolutely.
Adam.
I think that it was fundamentally Jorginho's fault because at the end of the day, this is the risks, you know, football teams take now. They want to keep possession and there's no sort of fear of playing it in between the posts. What I did think looking back at it was when the ball comes into Jorginho, Kepa takes 2 steps to his left. So he's moving away from the goal when Jorginho does play the pass, which I think is probably a bit strange. And, you know, there are far more better goalkeeper analysts than me out there, but I thought that was a bit strange. And whilst I didn't necessarily think this was Kepa's fault, these things do tend to happen when with he's Kepa, in goal.
It's the karma. It's karma. He attracts it. He attracts this kind of thing. This is the trouble. Oh, incidentally, several people, several Arsenal fans wrote on Twitter, it would have been a red card anyway because it was a back pass, they wrote, not knowing the laws at all because it just becomes an indirect free kick. But it would have been interesting to see what would have happened had the game gone on because it was a back pass which he handled.
To be fair to Kepa, and you know, talking of laws, JK, my law is never to be fair about Kepa at all. But I am going to be fair to Kepa.
Like Jorginho.
And Jorginho. I actually thought that Kepa did pretty well to even get back to save it, actually, because Jorginho, that wasn't like a slow, but he put a bit of welly on that back pass. Frankly, it was an absolute clusterfuck of a shambles of a load of old dog's bollocks of an awful thing to happen. And I think a plague on all their houses. Jorginho should have looked, frankly, rather than being Mr. Bloody Nonchalant. Kepa, I thought, should have been, you know, between the sticks. You know, it was just an absolute Horlicks of a whole bloody thing. But anyway,
there'd been a previous Horlicks with Havertz's miss, which was
well. I'm getting on to that, but it's time to introduce JK, our absent friend. Where have you all right, Dean?
Yeah, all good. Apologies for my tardiness. Unlike the non-existent goal against Arsenal, I am better late than never.
You are always better late than never, mate. It's lovely to see you, old Bean. And I hope you notice I've joined the Wentamo Kings Meadow Discord group.
Yeah, I have. Enjoying you joining in there.
Yes, I know. I commend it to everybody who's allowed to join in. Anyway, as JK was nicely segueing a minute ago, you know, it wasn't... I mean, you know, look, we've all been around football long enough to know these things happen. It's annoying when they do, but they can happen. But actually, I think we did more than enough to beat Arsenal. I mean, we had... Havertz's miss, which JK alludes to, absolutely appalling miss, frankly. But Havertz had two penalty claims. Mount had, a very good shout for a penalty. We hit the bar twice, you know. So were we profligate or were we unlucky?
I thought we were profligate. You know, I watched it knowing that we were going to lose 1-0 from probably about the 60th minute. It just never felt like we were going to...
I called it at half-time, if you see in my notes. Because those my notes that I put in here are what I write in real time. And I said half time, they're going to shithouse their way to a 1-0. You watch. And they did.
Yeah, I mean, they played a Mourinho game against us.
No. That gives them far too much credit. This was Bolton.
Okay, this was Bolton. Big Sam knows how to win against us. And he imprinted that at Bolton. But yeah, it just felt like, you know, we were... Some players, I think JK mentioned it on our WhatsApp group, you know, they were playing like they've been told they're not going to play tomorrow. They weren't making it, you know, necessary efforts and, you know, everything just seemed off kilter.
It did a bit, didn't it? I mean, I have to be honest, JK, I thought, this is very easy to say with hindsight, because actually I think Tuchel, as we were saying, he has spread the load quite well, and it's worked quite well. You know, people have come in, they know the system, it's fairly seamless. But I think we are now at the business end of the season and it's time to up the level, and I think that's when you miss your really big players. And I thought, well, I think Jorginho and Billy Gilmore can't really play together in the two. It just doesn't work. They're too similar in that respect. So I think we really miss Kante and his energy. But actually the bigger miss, I think, was Rudiger. And I think I've got this really interesting stat from Rudiger. Well, not from him, literally, but about him. I don't think Tony's quite got his head around listening to the Chelsea fancast quite yet. Shame on him. But I'm going to read this out because I don't really understand it. It's all a bit kind of stats heavy. But anyway, Chelsea have conceded 26 goals in 19 Premier League games when Antonio Rudiger hasn't started this season. That's 1.4 a game, compared to just 7 conceded in the 17 games when the German has started. That's 0.4 a game. So apparently we didn't just miss Rudiger for his defensive ability when he isn't picked. It's the leadership, intensity and mentality he provides on the pitch. And I think that that's true, actually. And I think that showed on Wednesday to a degree.
I don't think it's just down to the one player. You know, I mean, I was bemused by the fact that Odoi played the whole of the second half and was absolutely atrocious. I mean, to a degree that it was like watching him play in the last stutterings of Frank. when you didn't really think they knew what they were doing. And there was always that possibility that he didn't actually know what position he was supposed to be playing. But these constant overhit crosses and hitting the ball out into touch and miscontrolling and being caught in possession was not what we expect of somebody who has been coming on in leaps and bounds. So for me, it put an enormous question mark on his commitment and his ability to stay to play at this level. You've got a whole half and you're supposed to be putting a great deal of effort in. Or is it some kind of team psychological thing that they all are affected by a lack of focus and I don't know, maturity? I was bemused. To say it was down to one player like Rudiger, I mean, all right, yes, he's been playing wonderfully, but I felt that several of them had complete nightmares in comparison to the way that they've been playing all season. And it can't have been down to the limp nature of Gilmore on Jorginho. I think he discovered, as you said, he can't play with the two of them together. That just doesn't work. But Havertz similarly wandered around like, you know, we'd gone back as if we'd gone back, you know, 20 games, and we were back to the Jane Austen character with a ruff round his neck, just moving from position to position and not touching the ball. We need a name
for that.
Well, they're all slightly camp, aren't they? That's the trouble. So I'm not sure that we can use one of them.
We could call him
Nancy.
Squire Havering.
I love it. Yes, yeah, Squire Havereen, are we calling him?
I was actually very much in Jane Austen country earlier on because I had my double jab in Basingstoke. And, of course, it's very near Steventon,
yes,
which is where she was. She's an Hampshire girl, is Jane Austen. Proud of her, mate.
Count Steventon Havertzian or something.
Something like that.
Yes,
I mean, look, I cannot disagree with a word you're saying there, but, you know, I do think, you know, Adam, some of, you know, players like Kante and Rudiger are a big miss. I mean, not least because dear old Zouma ends up playing in the left of centre back, which I don't think he can do. We could sit here and we could moan for 3 hours, not just 20 minutes about this, because, as I said, it really pisses me off losing to Arsenal, number one. Number two, we haven't, we've now got to win both our games. I've done a little bit of maths for you, which, and actually I must share this with you. I had a chat with Kelvin Barker and Mark Meehan last night, and I proudly said to them, so boys, don't worry. You know, us, Leicester and Liverpool are all going to end up on 69 points if we beat everybody. And Leicester obviously don't beat us, and it'll go to goal difference, we'll be fine. And they said, no, Chidge. I said, what are you talking about? I said, no, if we win all our games, we get 70 points. I said, oh, right, okay. So I still can't count. You'll be delighted to know. But anyway, if we beat Leicester and Villa, which, of course, I think we now have to do, we will be third on 70 points, because Leicester then will only be able to get 69 points. If Liverpool win all of their games, they will have 69 points. And if West Ham win all of their games, they will have 67. So we can afford no more slip-ups. We've got to win both games, haven't we, Adam?
Yes, we do. And it's going to make Chelsea have got four games now that define whether this season is absolutely outstanding or is a failure. That is as simple as it is, because the reality is, you know, Chelsea can win the FA Cup, Champions League and finish in the top four, or they can lose both finals and finish outside the top four. And then we're all left going, oh, that wasn't meant to happen.
You know, there's one option that I would love in all of this is to win the FA Cup tomorrow, lose against Villa. We beat Leicester again on Tuesday, then lose to Villa. Liverpool win all of their games, then win the Champions League, and Liverpool won't get in the Champions League. I would die a happy man if that happened.
I bizarrely said that to someone earlier on, actually.
Well, there you go. Great minds and all of that.
But yeah, these are four games now, which, you know, Tuchel might have to play his, you know, quote unquote, strongest team in all four of them, because Chelsea can't afford any slip ups now. The good news is that everyone's fit ahead of tomorrow. There's not a single player who's going to miss it for injury. Kovacic is back. He obviously won't start because he hasn't played for a month, but it's good to have him back just to enable the midfield to rotate a little bit. So there's no reason Chelsea can't go and win all four matches. And I think the good thing is whenever they've had a setback like this under Tuchel, obviously West Brom was the big one. There was an immediate response. And given what's at stake tomorrow, hopefully that's the same again, because he has developed a mentality in this team a lot of the time where they're not a team that are going to go and lose two or three games on the bounce. I think Chelsea will react tomorrow. I really hope they react and win the FA Cup, obviously. And then I do think there's enough quality and enough sort of development in this team that they can go and win these next four games and it not be a huge undertaking, which maybe is slightly overconfident on my part.
You know, as I said, I think the defeat on Wednesday, I mean, it really pissed us all off, you know, because, and I think predominantly that's because we don't like losing to Arsenal, period, and also losing to the worst Arsenal side in 25 years doesn't
so
help.
Dreadfully against us. They were dreadful.
Yeah,
as well.
I know, but the reality is that, you know, I there are bigger fish to fry. You know, and I think Adam's got a point, JK and Dino. If we win our next four matches, this could be one of the best seasons ever, and we won't remember. I mean, do you want to know a lovely little stat? Last time Arsenal did us at home was, guess what, in 2012, just before we won the Champions League.
Yeah.
So, you know, more omens if you need them, all right? But we'll forget all about this if we win the next four matches. But if we don't, then it's going to be a very different story.
It's Tuchel out.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Hashtag Tuchel out. Yeah, definitely, JK.
No, of course not.
Tuchel rouse.
I didn't mean that man calling me
old
man.
No, he did. You lot listening can't see his face, but I can see his face, and it was deadly serious. But in fact, I can see him.
Serious face.
I can see he's already writing it into Twitter to be saved as a tweet later as we speak. Anyway, listen, Adam, and I might talk to Dean about this too, and in fact maybe even JK as well. But there seems to be all sorts of news that's been breaking out this week about East Ham, not East Ham, but about Porto, because the Champions League final's now been moved to Porto. I, for the life of me, cannot understand what on earth is going on, apart from the fact that I know that something like, how many fans? Is it 6,000 each, or is that for the cup final tomorrow? I'm getting confused now. But, I mean, basically, the last I heard is that City and Chelsea fans will have to get flown in a bubble, and be bubbled all the way to the stadium, and then basically flight in and flight out within 24 hours. So no party, you know, no fun. Go and watch the game in a socially distanced manner and then go home. Has that all changed again? Because I'm so confused with it all, Adam.
I think it has changed. There was a statement put out this afternoon by the Portuguese Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, which announced that British tourists will be allowed to enter Portugal from next Monday, and I think the only thing they had to do was to do a COVID test before. That may not be bang on, but I don't think this idea of bubbles is something that is gonna need to be done unless things change, and they may change obviously between now and the final, given the sort of the latest with the Indian variant, which is in the country at the moment here. So other countries may opt to change their restrictions on British travellers at that point. But at the moment, I don't believe that it will be a bubble in and out. As I say, things seem to be changing very, very quickly. We don't even know if we've got accreditation yet for this game.
Really?
And it's in, we'll say, a couple of weeks. So.
And I mean, would you be hoping to go? I presume so.
Ideally, yeah, of course. But as I say, you know, the later it leaves it, the harder it'll be to get out there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, talking of who's going, I mean, if I can't even get to the cup final, I don't think there's much chance of me getting a ticket. JK and Dino, JK, I mean, are you up for going, or is this a bridge too far?
I'd love to go, and I'm contemplating it. I'm just worried that my health might be impaired as a consequence. I just don't know. I'm such an unknown quantity because I'm asthmatic. I'm really not. I don't know what. I think I'm scared of getting in a plane because I'm not sure whether that's the correct place to be in. Even though I've had two jabs, you don't know what variant you might be in there. You don't know who's got something, and I wouldn't really want to risk my life, I think. Going to a football match, despite it be the Champions League.
So you're not Chelsea till I die, then?
Well, funnily enough, I am, but not with a death just immediately.
Not literally.
Not immediately after the Champions League final, if that's okay. I'd rather be alive to see others in a slightly more healthy state. So, I think it's unlikely. I think I'll be watching it. We're trying to work out there.
Maybe you and I should watch it together in a padded cell or something.
That'd be lovely. I'd love that. Yeah, and we can throw objects at each other.
Probably kill each other or something.
We wouldn't, Jude. We'd embrace. We'd probably catch.
Probably give each other COVID, mate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dino. You and JK and Adam are all going to be at Wembley tomorrow, unlike your Uncle Chidge, who will be in his padded cell to watch the game. What about Porto for you?
Yeah, well, I'm actually not going to be at the FA Cup final now.
Why?
I did get a ticket on the first day. I since changed my mind due to my expectant wife.
Yes.
I thought about driving up there, just getting the train and stuff like that. Decided to skip this year.
Yeah.
And, hope that we get to another FA Cup final where we can enjoy it in a normal situation without having to worry and stuff like that. So, yeah, torn between whether to go or not, but decided to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, fair enough. What about Porto? Same reason, I would imagine, then.
Yeah, I mean, like JK, you'd love to be there. You'd sort of give anything to be there, but some things are bigger than football sometimes, and, this is one of them.
Yeah. I have to say, if... Because I've now missed, this is the first... I mean, okay, Europe's a little bit different. I couldn't go to Moscow because I was working. I got to Munich, which is great. I didn't get to Amsterdam or Baku. I can't remember why I didn't go to Amsterdam now, but that was very remiss of me. But I think it's because I was still very pissed off with Rafa, actually, and I just didn't want to revel in any glory he might get. I'm serious. I was that psychopathic about Rafa. It really put me off. Baku, I just couldn't afford to get to because it was crazy. So, and I've now missed... there'll be two FA Cup finals, and I mean, if there had been no COVID and it had been an Istanbul, and I could have squirreled away a ticket somewhere, I'd have gone absolutely because I've actually got enough money at the moment, so I could have afforded to go. So I'm now missing a Champions League final, and I've missed last year's FA Cup final. That's two FA Cup finals. If Chelsea don't get to another FA Cup final or Champions League final, which of course the beauty of these competitions is, there are no guarantees, and it could be years. I am going to be because I'm not getting any younger, Dino. I'm going to be really pissed off, really pissed off. But what can you do?
Yeah, it's sort of out of our hands, isn't it? So yeah. We have to obviously hope and pray that Chelsea remain at the top level for some time, and we would be able to witness that, again.
Yeah.
I think, it was a long time between trophies when we first won the FA Cup in the 90s. But I think we're in a better situation, now than we ever was. So, I'm confident that in our lifetimes again, we will see another Champions League triumph.
Well, indeed. Well, no pressure, boys. Just bear in mind what I've said, or there'll be a horse's head discovered in your bedrooms. That's all I'm saying.
Can I make a pronouncement, Chip?
Yeah, pronounce away.
We'll win several Champions Leagues over the next few years.
Well, I really hope so, JK. But you and I both know... Cup competitions involve an inordinate amount of luck.
You have to remember, I'm that old man who's jinxing them by making...
And whilst an old man like you is on this show jinxing everything, I still don't... that makes our chances even less, I think. Unless you start saying, we're going to get thumped 8-0 every week by the opposition, and then we'll be okay, The reverse jinx.
Despite my gloominess about Wednesday, I think he's a completely brilliant manager. But and he will make us competitive at elite level for as many years as he is engaged.
Which would be about one.
One, indeed. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So we'll get to the next one.
We are going to move on because in a minute we're going to have the lovely Jake Watson, who's a Leicester fan and a TalkSport producer and an old mate of ours. He's going to be talking to us in opposition view. So we will be back in a minute.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to Chidge and the Boys on the Chelsea Football Fancast. Total nutters and proper Chelsea.
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast, the preview show on a Friday, of course, with me, Stamford Chidge, him over there, Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Whoop.
And the legend that is Dean Mears, the creator, producer, presenter, everything of the Went to Mow King's Meadow podcast on the wonderful Chelsea women's team.
Yeah, good evening. Apart from the editor, which is you, Chidge.
Shh, don't tell everybody that. You know, I like to give you all the glory on that one. Anyway, so there we go. Now, as you all know, in part two of the preview show on a Friday, we like to hear from a member of the opposition benches. And we call it this.
The Opposition View.
And that's right. On this week's Opposition View, we have an old mate of ours, very appropriately, you know, Friday, 7 o'clock show, used to do it on Love Sport. And occasionally, this fine young man had to babysit us and try and get us to behave appropriately. I don't think he ever succeeded, but I don't think we did any long-term harm because he agreed to come on the show tonight. It's the wonderful Jake Watson.
Hello, guys. Hello. Have you said old mates? Are we no longer friends? When did we fall out?
We're mates because we've known you for a while.
Right, okay. I just wanted to double check.
We're all good.
We're still pretty friends, right?
Mate, we're tight still. We're tight, you know?
Good.
Had me on your bloody TalkSport 2 show the other week.
Surely that means mates of long standing.
Yes, that's what exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's always a thing, isn't it, that's done when you say, when you get like a former player on, you say that's a former Manchester United legend. It's like, well, why are they no longer a legend? What's happened? So I just wanted to double check that I'm not a former friend.
No, Jake. You are a present and current friend and a legend, and it's lovely, lovely to see you. Now, obviously, we got you on to talk about your beloved Leicester. So the first thing I want to talk to you, really, I mean, in a funny old sense, you're in the same boat as us. I mean, we're duking it out for top four as well. Of course, we've got Tuesday's decisive match to come. But for you as a Leicester fan, what's more important, top four or the FA Cup?
Straight in with that one.
Boom.
it's really tough, isn't it? I think it's almost surreal for the fact that Leicester actually have the option of potentially being in both. You know, it really quite is a scenario where we could quite realistically end up with both. I have to say, winning the FA Cup would be what I would prefer. You know, silverware is what it's all about, isn't it? And then also for Leicester as a football club, you know, we've won every other domestic trophy other than the FA Cup. So for a personal perspective, to have a bit of silverware, and also for the football club to kind of complete the domestic lineup of silverware. I think personally that'd be more significant, but at the same time, you know, I have to stress, I am absolutely desperate for Leicester to finish in the top four. You know, what that would represent for Leicester in terms of their journey and progression of establishing themselves, you know, financially and prestige-wise within the clubs in the Premier League and also Europe, it would be absolutely huge. So I would like both, but if you make me choose, I would say FA Cup, but only just.
Right answer, Jakey, right answer. I think we would all agree with that too, actually. There's an emotional attachment to the FA Cup. And I mean, as Chelsea supporters, don't you know this? Because we've talked about this in the past, I know, but we are very attached to the FA Cup, and it goes way beyond, you know, the association that Roman has with the club. So many of, I mean, people of my generation found Chelsea because we won it in 1970. So it's huge for us. Here's a footnote for you, because I know that Leicester, the last time you were in a final was in 1969.
I was there.
You were there. You were there. What were you doing at a Leicester City final, mate? You doing more corporate hospitality, mate?
My dad got given a ticket, and he said, "I don't want to go. You go." So I went on my own.
Was it Man City? Was it City? Wasn't it?
Yeah. Neil Man City.
Neil Young.
Yeah.
Not the singer and the guitarist. Yeah. I hasten to add.
Not to be confused with.
Yeah. Anyway, the other point I was going to make was that. We've played you in a final of a cup competition before. In 1965, we beat you in the League Cup, which was played over two legs, which was our first cup. You know, it was our first cup trophy because we won the league. Jonathan would have been there. That was the year of my birth, so it was a long, long time ago. Jonathan was a young man in his 40s then, you know, and he was there. But there you go. Eddie McCready scored a great goal. But anyway, I won't bore you anymore with that. Brendan Rodgers. Now, here's the thing. You know, we as Chelsea supporters are sitting here saying, yeah, OK, I know we screwed up against Arsenal, which was unconscionable. But we've been saying, don't worry, we'll be fourth because Leicester will choke again. Because that's what Brendan Rodgers does. And I'm not just talking about Leicester, because he had a great habit of doing that at Liverpool, much to our delight. You know, when Mourinho went up there and beat them 2-0 and the Gerrard slip and all these things. So... are you confident that you'll get top four? But also, you know, where do you stand on Brendan Rodgers? Because there's been a lot of talk about him maybe wandering off, you know, Spurs perhaps, you know, other talk as well. So where do you stand on Rodgers, and do you think you'll get top four?
I'm probably not the best person to ask, because I'm very much a glass half empty
fan. you fit right in here, mate. You should be a Chelsea fan with us.
So, I mean, I suspect that I'm significantly more nervous about the top four than what the players are. And I know this whole, you know, Leicester and Rodgers bottle job is something that's thrown around. And, you know, and I'd love to sit here and tell you guys that it's complete nonsense, that, you know, it's under complete control. But the reality is I do get that sense, and I have done the last few weeks, that when it does get to the crunch, whether it's Rodgers or whether it's just the players not being as, you know, as experienced in those scenarios as some of the other clubs around them, we do seem to play with a little bit of fear. And I actually do think that the bottle job around Brendan is probably a tad unfair. I mean, last season when we dropped out, yes, it was a pretty calamitous collapse. I think at one point we were 15, 16 points clear of you guys and ended up finishing behind you. But, you know, it was COVID. It was a pretty unprecedented scenario, and some teams dealt with it better than others, and clearly we didn't. And then the Liverpool one with Steven Gerrard. Can we really blame Brendan Rodgers for Steven Gerrard slipping over? I think it's a tad harsh on Brendan.
I would hate to deflect any of that away from Gerrard, to be honest with you.
Yes. More the Palace game, though, wasn't it? More the Palace game after that.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, but that's kind of the significant moment, isn't it? When things kind of started to go south. So you've got two scenarios, really, or two situations, sorry, where something has happened, kind of unprecedented. You know, you still talk about Gerrard to this day. And obviously COVID had a massive impact on the entire globe. So I think that Brendan certainly has to do something to shake off that tag. But I do think it is slightly unfair on him. I actually think Leicester's problems in terms of kind of getting over the line is far more to do with the fact that it's a group of players that haven't been in the situation that often, as opposed to anything that Brendan's probably doing, which is affecting the way the team's playing. I really do.
I mean, your form's been pretty good recently. I mean, you had the brain fart against Newcastle. Lord knows what happened there. Although I think actually they set up against you pretty well in that match. But, you know, you beat United this week, which is a huge result, you know, kind of a must win in a sense. But, I mean, the other matches against, I mean, Southampton have, you know, they've been on the beach for months. And Palace too, and of course West Brom. I'm not sure if they were even. They might not have been relegated by then. So that was perhaps. We shouldn't talk too much about West Brom, considering what they did to us at home. To be fair,
no.
I mean, how what is Leicester's form like at the moment, really?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think we're playing that well. I think the Manchester United result was absolutely huge. More so, kind of psychologically going into that game, because before that point. You flagged up the results against Newcastle and Southampton. The Southampton one was a huge, huge opportunity missed because they were down to 10 men for around 70 minutes of that game. And if we'd won that, if you look at, like we should have done, if you look at what that would have meant for the league table, we'd be pretty much now guaranteed top four. But we didn't do it. Against Newcastle, we were pretty dreadful. But again, I think you should add context here that Steve Bruce has actually just been named manager of the month. So Newcastle were playing quite well and really probably should have beat Liverpool the week beforehand. So I think that was a huge concern for A, the way that we were playing, but also kind of this thing we keep talking about of Leicester bottling it. So the fact that Leicester went to Manchester United and granted, you know, it was a much, much changed United team, which without question helped us get that result. But I think from a psychological aspect, that will do so, so much, particularly for this game. If we hadn't won that one, I wouldn't be sat here giving as much of a prayer tomorrow. But the fact that we won that game, I do think now that the players will be feeling pretty confident, or certainly as confident as they could be going into a game like this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, the reality is, you know, the thing about a cup final, it's a one-off, isn't it? So, I mean, it's literally a two-horse race. Anything can happen, luck, you name it. But in terms of Leicester, what do you think, you know, your main weapons, your main threat to Chelsea is? I mean, Iheanacho has been on a really good run of form in the cup, hasn't he? You know, Vardy always scares the you-know-what out of me. And, I mean, you're a very good counter-attacking side still. And Ndidi is a good player. I mean, you know, they're a good side, Leicester, on their day. So, you know, what should we be worried about?
Yeah, no, you're right. I think if you look at Leicester's starting 11, or certainly their best 11, there's very little between the two teams. You know, Leicester have beat Chelsea this season. We've beat all of the top six this season. We've beat Manchester United twice. You know, this team is more than capable of beating anyone. It really is. To beat Chelsea tomorrow, I think that there's a huge reliance, as you just mentioned, on Vardy and Iheanacho. They've formed a really quite impressive partnership. But it's kind of that person behind those two. And that's the question mark for tomorrow in terms of who starts, because there's been problems with James Maddison in recent weeks, where he was injured and then he came back and he played in the FA Cup semi-final. We thought, oh, brilliant, Maddison's back. Give him a few games and he'll be fully fit, ready for the run-in in the final. But he's just not got himself fit and he's just not got himself playing well to the extent that he didn't even start in the last game against Manchester United. Now, if Maddison is just being rested and is being kind of nurse gently back into things in preparation for the final, then great. But I've got a sneaking suspicion that Brendan is a little bit unsure whether he thinks James is actually ready to start that game. So if Maddison starts and he looks fit and he's on his game, then Leicester will cause you problems with that trio of Maddison, Iheanacho, and Vardy.
Top player on form, isn't he, Maddison?
Yeah, absolutely. But if he's not fit and it's Jose Perez, Leicester are a completely different team, and you know he's a decent player, but
Barnes is out as well, isn't he, Jake?
Yeah, Harvey Barnes is out, which is a huge loss. But we've known that for a little while.
Tielemans is on great form though, isn't he?
Yeah, Tielemans is. The only other thing which is absolutely vital for Leicester is defensively. So you spoke about that game against Newcastle. A big reason why we lost was Johnny Evans got injured in the warm up. You know, and it quickly became apparent that Johnny Evans' job when he plays alongside Soyuncu and Fofana is pretty much to tell those two not to do anything stupid. because the pair of them were making mistakes left, right and centre in that game. And it suddenly became very apparent that, yes, his leadership and his experience is vital, but clearly his organisation is massive. And, you know, this guy has won everything domestically. So if he's patched up and he's going to play, then great. That's hugely important. But if he doesn't play, it leaves question marks over us defensively, which is obviously not a good position to be in a cup final.
No, true. Okay, flipping it around the other way, you know, what do you as a Leicester fan fear about Chelsea?
You know what? It's a really strange one, you know, with Chelsea, because, you know, I've obviously been watching you guys incredibly closely, not just because we know we've had this game coming up, but also with the top four. So I've seen and watched a lot of Chelsea, and there's been a lot of good press around you guys. I think everyone has been universally impressed with the way that Thomas Tuchel has come in and had an impact. But what I personally find really interesting about this current team is that I don't see any real superstars. You know, you look at maybe some of the Man Cities and the Liverpools, you know, that there are players in that team which I think would kind of tear up any team on their day. But I don't see that with Chelsea. What I see with Chelsea is just a really, really good team. And Tuchel seems to be just getting the best out of everyone individually, but also in a system. So it's hard for me to pinpoint a player where I say, do you know what, I'm really worried about him. You know, if he plays well today, then Leicester are in trouble.
Kante's a superstar. Isn't he a superstar, Jay?
Who's that, sorry?
Kante.
Yes, no, I would agree with that, but I don't think he's... Well, obviously, he's an outstanding player, but
he's understated, isn't he, Jakey? That's the thing about Kante. He's our only world-class player. Of all people know how flaming good he is, but he's understated. That's part of what makes him so great, I think. He's not like a Hazard, is he? You know, or a Pogba, or, you know, I get what you mean, but
I mean in the sense that, you know, N'Golo Kante is not probably going to win the game on his own in terms of winning and scoring two or three goals. I mean, look, as you rightly say, N'Golo Kante, I'm fully aware of what a wonderful, wonderful player he is. And there was doubts, was there not, over his fitness, but he's all good to play, right?
He's cleared to, apparently, but apparently he was rested against Arsenal because he's carrying a low-grade injury, so they wanted to kind of deal with it, give him a bit of pain management. But, he's fit to play.
Yeah, but I just think in an attacking sense... There's not any one player that I'm genuinely really scared of. And I know that sounds like really kind of...
I can understand that, mate, given how we can't score.
It feels like famous last words to face something as bold as that. But I just think that Chelsea as a team are performing so, so well, as opposed to kind of picking out any individuals in that attacking lineup where I think, you know, we need to quash his threat and we might win this game. So, I find Chelsea a really unique kind of scenario at the moment, because usually I'd be fearful of Eden Hazard, you know, I'd be fearful of Diego Costa, but I can't quite pinpoint anyone who I'm genuinely terrified about tomorrow.
Yeah, good point. All right, my friend, how do you see it going, and lob us a prediction?
Oh, it's again difficult. Of course it is. I'm fearful of Leicester in terms of the way that they play on the big stage and how they get up for this occasion. I think Chelsea, I think we can be fairly confident that they know how to do this. They've been here many times before. So I'm just hopeful that the Leicester turn up and they can play to their top level. If they do that, it's going to be a good game. And I'm sure you can completely understand that I can't sit here and predict anything other than a Leicester win.
Put a number on it, mate.
Yeah, we'll make it difficult. We'll make it hard work. I'm going to say 2-1 to Leicester City with Kelechi Iheanacho scoring the winning goal.
Good. I hope you got some money on that, mate, because that's very precise. But I would expect nothing less than you to predict a Leicester win. I mean, goodness gracious me. You can't come on here and say they're going to lose, mate. I mean, what's all that about? Mate, you have been beyond fantastic, as I knew you would, because we really miss seeing you at Love Sport. How's it all going at Talk Sport? You're doing the breakfast show or the morning show, aren't you, Paul Coy? I never pronounce his name right, which is an appalling admission from somebody whose name gets pronounced wrongly all the time. It's Coit, isn't it?
It's Coit, yeah. C-O-Y-T-E. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, life's good. It's perhaps quite different to the time spent in Love Sport.
No surprise there, mate.
Those little studios up there, it's quite a different world. But my days and life revolve around getting up at 2 o'clock every morning. We're on air 5 till 9. On TalkSport and TalkSport 2. And yeah, look, life's good. It's a great thing to do. But I'm still in touch with you, obviously, Chidge and a number of other guys from Love Sport, and we do speak fondly of those times. They were unique.
they certainly were.
But they were great fun. They were great fun. I really do look back at it really fondly.
Yeah, me too. We all really enjoyed it, and I do miss it as well. But we met some great people, of course, and one of the many was you. And I'm really so glad we got you back on the Fancast, and I always enjoy pitching up on your, on the Paul Coit show on TalkSport 2. And particularly, actually, Jake, because you always say, Chidge, you could do this time, or this time. And, and he basically gives me three times. Two of them are ridiculously early when I will still be in the land of Nod. And then the last one's usually about 8:30, which I can just about manage. So I always thank you for that, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine what it's like trying to produce a show that starts at 5 o'clock in the morning? It's really quite difficult finding anyone who wants to come on before 7 a.m., but somehow we just about manage it. Anything before 7, nobody's interested in, believe it or not.
No, I'm so surprised. I can't think why. But there you go. No, it's a hard gig. But well done. You do a great job there, Jakey. Lovely to see you, mate. I mean, I would always wish the opposition fans that we get on huge amounts of luck, but sadly I can't for tomorrow or in fact Tuesday. But what I will say is, I really, really hope you beat Spurs handsomely. In your last match of the season, because if you do that and we beat you and then we beat Villa, that means that you will still be in the top four, because Liverpool won't catch you if you've got a good goal difference. I worked it all out on paper, mate.
Chidge knows.
I do. All worked out. 70 points for us, 69 points for Leicester, 69 points for Liverpool. So as long as
this is only with advice, because you initially said 69, but
clearly I had 69 on the brain. I can't think why.
I don't think why. But yourself quickly. What's the score going to be on Tuesday then, Jim?
I know it's ridiculous, isn't it, that we've got to do this and then go again on Tuesday. My ideal scenario is to play out a draw on Tuesday and then we both win final day and we're both in. What a game that is on Tuesday. I can't even think about it, Jonathan. I can't even think about it. I've not even managed to kind of get my head around the fact that win, lose or draw tomorrow, we're gonna have to do it all again on Tuesday. And the game is absolutely huge, isn't it? The reality is the winner of that one on Tuesday is going to be in the Champions League, isn't it?
A number of times one side wins the cup match and the other side then wins the league game. And they also has the revenge of having lost the cup final. Yeah, but it could be that either side, any scenario, somebody wins both of them.
Yeah. Mm. That's no good to us. Draw's no good to us.
No, it isn't.
JK, we got to win them both. Yeah. But you can lose to us and beat Spurs and still finish in the top four, mate.
As long as
your goal difference is decent, all right?
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I just, nobody wants to leave it to the last game of the season and do that. But nobody wants that to happen.
4 or 5-0 against Spurs, I would welcome that.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath, mate.
All right, Jakey, whatever happens, enjoy tomorrow, mate. And let's hope we catch up with you again sometime soon. But really lovely to have you on. You take care. Thanks a lot, mate.
Yeah, same to all you guys. As I said, can't really wish you luck, but fingers crossed. We both end up in the top four this season, and we're going to be friends still next season, right?
We will indeed.
And we've been the Champions League, of course.
Yes, of course.
Indeed. Well, that's another alternative, you see. We can not get in the top four, win the Champions League, and deny Liverpool a place, which, of course, would be nirvana for many of us. His little face, brilliant. Jake, great to see you, mate. We'll see you again soon. You take care.
Yeah, you too, chaps. Goodbye.
Well done.
Brilliant. There you go. Jake Watson from TalkSport, amongst many other things, and an old mate of ours, as I was saying. So there we go. We will be back in a minute.
Real fans, real opinions.
I'm Jason Cundy, and you're listening to the Chelsea Football Fancast. Up the Chelsea!
Footballfancast.com.
Welcome back. This is the Chelsea Fancast of me, Stamford Chidge, on the old Friday night preview show, and Mr. Jonathan Kidd.
Lovely to be on the show, Chidge. Thank you.
And the ever so lovely Dean Mears. Now, we've heard from Jake Watson, who's a big Leicester fan, as we know. It's now our turn to talk about the FA Cup final tomorrow. I mean, I'll get into what we all think about the Cup final in a minute. In fact, you know what? I'm going to do it right now. We can wait till team selections and all that in a minute. But, I mean, I have to say, JK, you know, and I'll ask the same to Dean in a minute, but I'm really excited. I mean, you know, we were saying to Jake off air, actually, it's a bit gutting that I'm not there and that I wasn't there last year. And you know, the days, you know, I'm terrible at remembering football matches, period, as we all laugh at me and know. But I always remember the finals. They can't be etched from my memory. They're always the greatest days in my Chelsea life, to pitch up to Wembley and win cups and stuff, even when we've lost. I mean, you know, the 2002 Cup final to Arsenal, we lost that, but I had one of the most fun days I've ever had watching football, you know. Just the whole thing about it, it's so exciting. And the FA Cup, for me, on an emotional level, I would say is the most important trophy on an emotional level. The Champions League or the European Cup is the most on every other level. But the FA Cup, it's just so special. Everything it means, all that history, your history with it, you know, with the Blue Day song and all of that. It's massive, isn't it, mate? And I'm so excited.
Yes, excited, but I always go along in the depths of despair with the possibility of losing it. I mean, losing to Arsenal last year, even on telly, was just appalling. Losing to them in the flesh under Conte was the memory of a Hooray Henry ginger-haired Arsenal fan, very near, because where I was sitting, we were quite near the opposition, just constantly laughing at me, was something that I'll never forget. It's nightmarish.
Should have given him a slap, mate.
Well, I'd love to have done, but, you know, he was...
Should have got Sopwith to give him a slap. Isn't that what he's for?
Yes, he's there with his slapping stick, yes. No, it was... we were too far away. He had a very loud voice. But I find the jeopardy of going to these matches very worrying and very psychologically damaging. So... Yes, but there are occasions when I'm if we're not competing, then I can wash it out of my mind that we're not there. And yet you want to be at all these finals because that's proof that your team is performing at the highest level. Had we not had Wednesday, I would have been completely convinced we were on such a roll that we'd be, as I've said on the show, we'll beat every single team that we play against. We're that good. But the very fact we can have a low like that, now I'm now going along with that scintilla of doubt that will fester until we score the first goal. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say, but the first 4 minutes of the game against Arsenal, we were so under-energised, you could almost tell what was going to happen. And please, let's not have that again. I don't think I can bear it.
Talking of Arsenal and Cup finals, mate, that 2002 one I went to, I only got a couple of tickets at the last minute. I had to buy... or sponsor a barrel of beer for some bloke who was the chairman of a kind of a non-league team. Because you know the FA family organ.
Yeah,
so Martin and I ended up, Dr. Martin and I we did go to the ball. And because they were FA tickets, we were kind of in a rather, it's like a mixed zone. We were on the halfway line, but it was clearly full of Chelsea supporters and Arsenal supporters who'd bought tickets through nefarious routes. So we were with a load of Arsenal fans, and Martin and I, we were very, very, very drunk, obviously, because we'd gone up with Phil and the boys and all of that. And we were there so early, we had to convince the landlord of this pub we found in Cardiff Bay to open up for us about an hour or two before it was supposed to open. So we'd been on the beer all day. And we were sitting there with all these Arsenal fans, and they, honestly, Martin and I laughed our heads off until Parler scored. Because up until that point, I have never, ever witnessed or been amongst fans who moan at their own team as much in my life. If you ever want to know if it's true that Arsenal fans are wankers, I can verify this utterly. They sat there and moaned and moaned and moaned and whinged and whinged and whinged. And then
bloody Parler scored and it all changed. And it was just such a shame, because if ever a team deserved to lose, it was Arsenal, just for their awful, moany fans.
And that was the match that Hasselbank played and was injured, wasn't
it? JT was as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just one of those awful, just, it was, and we wanted it so badly as well. Well, dear old Claudio, and it was, the interesting thing actually, you could tell that we suddenly, had a team again. That was really important, that 2002 year, getting to that final, because we had a team again, because we had felt, because we hadn't been able to spend a lot of money. The club wasn't in a good state even then, and we needed that. And it was like, oh, maybe something's going to happen. We've got JT coming through, we've got Lamps coming through. Lamps kind of came of age, actually, in that match, because he took Vieira out of the game. He totally took him out of the game. Vieira had no impact on that game. So they had two lucky goals, and they won. Huh?
Completely expunged it from my memory.
No, I'm telling you.
Lingard scored the second.
Freddie Lundberg.
Lundberg.
Arsenal, yeah. Basically two, ridiculously worldy goals, and that was it. But I mean, as I said, Lamps took Vieira out of the game that day. That was the first kind of glimmer in my book that, oh, hello, we've got a player here. JT was on one leg, so that was tough. I think Lissou went off injured early as well, didn't he? And he was one of our best players at the time. Anyway, we could wander down Nostalgia Avenue quite happily, but we're not going to, because we're here to talk about this cup. Dino, I mean, you're obviously a bit younger than me and JK. I mean, does the FA Cup still have the same kind of emotional resonance for you as it does for me and JK?
Yeah, I think for me and supporters of my age, it's still the competition. When I was a kid, I was writing stories about, playing for Chelsea and winning the FA Cup. There was no thoughts of European football, or, no idea what that was really. The FA Cup was the competition. It still means, a great deal to me, and I'm sure to many others of my age, probably those a few years younger, that sort of would have been living as children through, Abramovich and then, European nights. It is all about the Champions League and top four. But for me, there's nothing better than a trip to Wembley in May in the sunshine. Yeah. The whole day out, the whole experience is different than, any other football match you go to. Yeah. And of course, winning trophies is the be-all and end-all of football, really.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I mean, you're right. It's the whole ritual. And that's what I shall miss most tomorrow. I mean, normally I would be, I'm now down in Winchester, but I'd have got the train up early. I'd have met Phil and everybody. We found this brilliant hotel actually in Paddington, which serves a very mean full English breakfast. So we would have all settled into that, me, Pablo, Phil, Dan Silver, maybe a few others, and then we'd head off down to the Victoria Pub in Paddington for opening. And then people just the people that you might not see for the entire season because they go to different pubs, they sit in different parts of the ground. But I have a picture in my head of all the people that I see every Wembley appearance in that pub before a match, and it's usually sunny and we'd be sitting outside and more people would turn up, and then these days people from abroad turn up that you don't expect to be there, that because they listen to the fan cast and then you all head up pissed obviously to Wembley, and it's just, you cannot beat it, apart from if you lose, when you just get the hell out of there as quickly as you can, moan, sulk. The last time actually when we lost to Arsenal, me, Phil and Pablo, and it might have been Stu, I can't remember. Stu, in fact, JK, who was the one that said it was Chidgey's fault on yeah. Twitter. That's Stu Norman.
Yes.
The original.
How could he have made such a mistake?
Well, because he knows I'm a grumpy old git. But me, Phil and Stu and Pablo, I think we went back to the Duke of Wellington in Waterloo because we just didn't want to do anything. We said, well, let's go back there. We've all got to go home. We'll have one pint and then fuck off. And that was it. We were so pissed off. But anyway, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's definitely not going to happen tomorrow. But there is a worry for me, JK. There is a worry, I have to say, because Tuchel seemed determined to start Kepa in goal. And I have to be honest, I am worried about it. Should I be?
Yes.
Why?
Because, as we've said, he seems to attract ill fortune.
He's crossed paths with a black cat, hasn't he?
He has. He's met Blind Pew, hasn't he? He's given him
Black Death.
Given him a black spot, hasn't he?
Black spot, actually. You're right. Not Black Death. Black Death's something entirely different. Entirely book. Different. Very different book.
Yeah, yeah. Similar to COVID, Black Death.
Apart from you got Black Death off rats, mate.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe he called it off Courtois. I don't
apparently
know.
Apparently that wasn't true. We need to look it up. It's not. Really? It's not off rats. That was a mistake.
What did they get it from then?
Something else. Some other way of getting it. I was reading up on it. I've forgotten the essential part being what you actually got it from. But it's not rats. Poor old rats. Rats flea. I think it was fleas on rats, wasn't it? Originally, it was supposed to be for some other reason. Anyway,
medieval history. Why not?
Yeah. Let's get that in somewhere. Yeah, I'll make sure next time I'm on the show that I'm on Monday, I'll come up with a whole.
Yeah, very remiss of you, JK, I have to say. Yeah. Come on.
I do apologise. I'm not as informed as I ought to be, but I did read up on it. And I forgot what we were talking about. What were we
Kepa,
saying?
Mate.
Oh, yeah, Kepa, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I hope that nothing happens. It's a sort of, well, I think he won't be tested if Rudiger plays and the defence is as tight-fisted as it normally is, which I think it will be. And I don't think we'll have a problem, and I think we'll win easily. But as Jake was saying, I think they'll be phased by the occasion. And I don't think we can possibly play as badly as we did in the week. And if we need to play at the same level as we played against Real Madrid and Porto and Atletico, and we have that potential, and I think we'll do that. So I actually see us coming away with an easy win.
Okay, well, we'll park that thought just for now, but I'm loving the optimism so far. I mean, the thing about it is, Dino, you know, what worries me as well is that Tuchel's making a bit of a rod for his own back here. You know, I mean, we all know that Kepa is not as good as Mendy, and he even said in the presser today that Mendy is his number one. This is an FA Cup final. Play your best side to win that trophy. Your best side has Mendy in goal. So why would you play Kepa? And if Kepa does make a Horlicks and we do lose as a result, Tuchel has made one monumental flaming error. And I cannot understand this about a manager who has otherwise been absolutely faultless.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, Mendy was still the number one goalkeeper against in the semi-final, in the quarter-final, in the fifth round, and Kepa still played. You know, if you go to chelseafancast.com, you can read, you know, my piece yesterday about Kepa. For me, he absolutely has to start, because it would totally, you know, kill everything about his Chelsea career.
Tough shit.
But Tuchel's done a very good job of building him back up, and, you know, he's not in behind the defence that leaks.
Mate, this isn't school football, Dean. This is the FA Cup final.
Yeah, and he's got us there.
Well, that is an interesting point, because that's hard to disagree with, but it's also hard to agree with, because there are 10 other players playing on the pitch who also got us there. But I do take your point. I mean, that's the thing, you know, tomorrow night, at this time of night tomorrow, hopefully we've stuffed Leicester out of sight, won an FA Cup. None of us are going to be talking about him making a rick about picking Kepa, are we? But the jeopardy still exists. He picks Kepa, not his number one keeper. Kepa makes a howler as only Kepa can, and it's a very different story, and that's my worry.
Yeah, I know there are, you know, reasons why people have worries about Kepa, given, you know, his form, especially under Lampard, and, you know, what caused us to sign Mendy and put him in. But, you know, I don't think he's made a mistake under Tuchel. You know, he's, when called upon, he's done everything he needed to do. I felt he was unfairly judged by some over what happened against Arsenal. You know, the blame should be with Jorginho, plain and simple. You know, it's a what if, you know. What if he has the game of his life and saves a penalty, wins us the cup, you know?
And the reality is, any one of those 11 players can make an absolute Horlicks and cost us the cup. I mean, it's not a black and white argument. I really genuinely accept that. And, you know, but I
have a save to make, Chidge, if the defence is as usually
exactly.
Is.
Exactly. And, you know,
moments, as it normally is.
He got us to the Europa Cup final a few years ago with his great heroics and the penalty. It's just, I mean, if there's one thing that seals it for me, it's the fact that, I'm sorry, you pick your best team. You pick your best team for a final. And the reality is that Mendy, even by Tuchel's own admission, is his number one keeper. And I just don't see why you would, you know, football is not about altruism. It's not charity, mate. It's professional elite sport. A lot rides on this. So I just can't understand why you would not do that. But there you go.
Listen, he said in the presser, didn't he, that it was just that he was the FA Cup goalkeeper. That was it. He said that.
Yeah, but I think that's disrespectful. These fecking foreign managers are full of this shit, you know? FA Cup goalkeepers. It's like me saying, well, you know, Marco can only come on to talk about FA Cup matches that we cover on the Chelsea Fancast because he's my FA Cup podcaster.
That's a good idea.
What a load of arse gravy. Get to fuck. Anyway, let's talk about other things before I'm still grumpy. Maybe that's a result of my COVID jab. It's making me grumpy. Do you think? Maybe I'm the Incredible Hulk. Maybe it'll make me really angry or something. I don't know.
I thought you bursting out of your Paul Canneville t-shirt any second now.
Do you like my Canners t-shirt? Isn't it a thing of beauty? I wore this in... Right, I've got to share this with you because I had my jab in Basingstoke, of all places, today. Can you believe the address of where I went to? West Ham Close. I kid you not.
How did you manage? How did you cope with that?
I puffed my chest out with my Chelsea shirt on. Yeah. But I've always known that there's a lot of West Ham fans in... Actually, I must tell you this because this is an insane tangent, which I know you, this is so... No other show can do this. Right, when I was a kid, right, I've always known that West Ham was Basingstoke was a hotbed of West Ham fans. Why do I know this? Well, historically, Basingstoke was a new town built after the Second World War, and it was built predominantly or built up to rehouse a lot of East Enders who had their houses bombed in the Second World War. Hence a lot of West Ham fans. The other reason I know this is that in this time, which would have been kind of late 70s, early 80s, my mother was a probation officer. And, of course, most of her clients were in Basingstoke. And, of course, they were all West Ham fans.
All Hammers, all Irons.
I'm not saying that all West Ham fans are criminals, but anyway... I was very grumpy in the Discord group. I'm not going to be grumpy tonight, that's for sure. Okay, in terms of who might be starting or whatever, I think we can safely assume, even though Tuchel has intimated that everybody's fit, that Christensen won't play, because I can't see that he's ready. Apparently Kovacic is ready. It'll be interesting to see whether he plays. And we know that Kante is carrying an injury, although Conte says he is fit. So it's kind of an interesting... dilemma. I mean, should I tell you who I've gone for team-wise?
Go on then.
And this is based on what I want, not what I think he will pick. Hence, I've picked Mendy, knowing full well he'll pick Kepa. But Rudiger, Silva, Aspi, Chilwell, Jorginho, Kante, James, Werner, Havertz, Mount. And lo and behold, that's pretty much the same team that we played against Real Madrid, apart from Mendy. Because I actually think that's our best team at the moment, I have to say.
Well, it's interesting how we clearly missed Wenger enormously.
Wenger?
What? Werner? God. But Arsenal on the bloody brain because of all these three losses.
Mate, your arse is on your brain. It is.
We clearly missed Werner, who was...
But I don't think he would have been effective against a 10-man defence, mate.
Well, no, I just think that his pace is just... It's difficult to deal with, isn't it? I don't know, bloody hell, what can you say about... I want to harp back to Wednesday every time. But I think, yes, he's very much part... what did you choose Havertz in the three up front? You did. With Pulisic...
Werner, Havertz, Mount.
Pulisic comes on as the...
impact.
As the impact sub. Yeah, that makes sense to me, yeah. Are you playing... James on the wing, or is it Aspilicueta with...
James is right wing back, Aspi is right back.
Yeah, okay. And what, there's no Christensen, obviously, because he's still injured, isn't that right?
No, Christensen for me, even if he's apparently fit, I wouldn't risk him in this.
He said they were all fit, though.
He said they were all fit, but I'm not buying it. I mean, you know, I'm not buying it. I think Silva is more than capable of doing a big job there. Of course, the only worry... I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, Dino? Because we say, oh, well, the only worry about Silva is, you know, he's 36, he hasn't got, you know, a lot of pace, and Vardy will skin him for pace. But actually, the thing about Silva, he's got 2 yards in his head.
Yeah, that was, you know, the big takeaway I took when I went to the Chelsea-Leeds game back in November. You sort of watch him read the game as he's playing it, because obviously you get to see more of the pitch when you're at the ground. You know, he's reading two steps ahead of him. So, you know, he's lost a yard of pace, but his brain gives him 2 yards. So, you know, he'll know where to be, you know, when to be there at the right time. And, you know, we've seen that. And, you know, JK will see that as well tomorrow. You know, the pace of Vardy won't affect him because he can read the game so well. The
concern is Vardy's pace. I think we've got Jeff James is playing. He's so quick anyway, isn't he, James? I think James will deal with Vardy as well.
Yeah, the concern for me is if they isolate Vardy against Aspilicueta on that right hand side, Arsenal did with Aubameyang.
Well, I don't think he has much choice because if you remember recently, the three at the back that we've had recently in some of these big games has basically been Rudiger, Silva and Christensen. Christensen quite often playing in the right, and Aspie's been playing further up, hasn't he? But I don't think that's an option. Tuchel always throws an outlier in there, but I just think I wouldn't risk Christensen, you know. It goes back to what I was saying about playing your best team. And we've seen this happen, haven't we? So, I mean, funny enough, we were talking about 2002. JT was risked, even though he was carrying an injury. Hasselbank was carrying an injury. You cannot play players in a final unless they're 100% fit. And as I said, weirdly, we see it through history so many times when a player makes the starting 11, when they're really actually not really fit, they end up either giving away something or getting taken off because they end up injured. Lasso was a good example, I think, as well, in that 2002 final. So, you know, on that basis, you play who is fit. And apparently Rudiger didn't play against Arsenal because he's in what Tuchel calls the red zone. So, you know, he needed a rest. So hopefully he's had a big enough rest. Hopefully Silva has been able to recover. Mind you, they didn't actually have much to do the defence against Arsenal, if the truth were to be told. So I don't think he would have been exerted by that. I hope Kante is fit enough. You know, he's one player I probably would risk if he was a bit injured because he's so important to us. And as I said, I think the rest really pick themselves. But it'll be interesting to see what he does. There are some lovely omens, gentlemen. You like a few omens, don't you?
No.
You don't like omens?
No.
What if they're good omens?
I don't like omens at all because omens then just sort of get easily unomened.
That you're sounding like me on this. Oh, we're probably going to lose this because we've been on a run.
Oh,
on a big
I just I'm happy to say I said we're going to win. I just said we'll win easily.
All right,
but no,
right.
I just don't want an omen. I know it's like Spurs have got omens. Always
you just don't like the film.
A year with a one at the end of it. Of course
What have you got against Sam Neill? He's a fine actor.
Clever, very clever.
I know.
How about Omen 2? Omen 2, Omen 1, Omen 1, 1, Omen 2,
Omen,
2.
Omen 1, Mikel.
Kenobi, yeah.
Anyway, look, we've never lost...
By the way, Fleas did bring the Black Death, but it was considered to be viral as well. There's the other option. Viral. That's what I remember. Yeah. It's like a virus. It's very like COVID.
Very like COVID, yeah. We've never lost to Leicester in an FA Cup match. We've played them more times than any other team other than Hull. Obviously, the last two times we played Leicester in the Cup, we've gone on to win the trophy. So 2020, I think we beat them in the semi, didn't we? We won 1-0. In 2018, we won after extra time. Pedro scored the winner, as I recall. But more interestingly, we walloped them. They were second division side at the time. But in 2012... we beat them on the way to winning the Cup. And then, of course, we won the Champions League. So, you know, we've got a pretty good track record against Leicester. I thought it was really interesting what Jakey was saying. I mean, they are a decent team, Dean. They cannot be sniffed at. And I think the reality is, like I was saying, I never buy any kind of pre-FA Cup final talk of favourites because I think it really is a two-horse race. And it's quite often who turns up on the day who gets a bit of luck. I mean, like last season, Arsenal... we're a load of shit, and we should have walked that. But I think they got a bit lucky, frankly. You know, the injuries we got, the red card, that kind of thing. These are the kind of things that happen in finals. So, frankly, for me, it's always 50-50 before you go into it.
Yeah, we've seen like in not too distant, you know, memory, you know, Portsmouth and Wigan, you know, lifting the cup against, you know, much bigger opposition. You know, Leicester are a very good team, and they're above us in the league. They've been performing better than us over the course of, you know, the 36 games that we played. And they shouldn't be taken lightly. You know, I hope that, you know, Brendan Rodgers' bottle job curse sort of continues with them and they can fall off in this game. But, you know, I remember the 2017 final when we lost to Arsenal. You know, before the game, you could feel the crowd before the game that they were so confident they were going to win. We just needed to walk up and lift the trophy. And you know, you can sense it as a supporter before the game, and you know, I hope that the JK doesn't feel that when he arrives at Wembley. Maybe you can let us know on WhatsApp, you know, what the atmosphere is like. But
yeah, I'll make sure I'm sending stuff. I'm happy to do that.
But Dean, you make an excellent point there, because I remember that well against Arsenal, and you know, I was absolutely convinced we were going to do the double. Conte was on a roll. The garden, everything in the garden was well rosy. And I think in that respect, that's one. It's arguably one of the most disappointing feelings I've had after a match. That's the year that me, Pablo, Big Phil, and Stu ended up in the Duke of Wellington in Waterloo, very, very pissed off, because we were just absolutely gutted, because we thought we were going to win another double. But I'll be honest with you, this time round, I am not feeling, you know, overwhelmed with confidence here. I think this is a 50-50. It's nip and tuck. It could go either way. You know, I certainly, JK, don't think there's going to be, you know, loads of goals in this. We don't let many in, and we don't score many either. So I don't think that'll be, you know, I don't think it's going to be a wonderfully entertaining, free-flowing, multi-gold final. What I would ask, though, JK, and here's the thing, two questions, really. One is, you know, our track record in FA Cup final, I mean, this is the 15th final we've been in, the 25th time we've been at the new Wembley. We've been in a cup final, not necessarily an FA Cup final, but every year in the last five seasons we've been on a cup final. We know how to win these games. We know what it's like. We're very experienced at this level, and Leicester are not. So I wonder if that will make a difference. But I also wonder what the difference of having 20,000 fans in a stadium is going to be as well.
It'll be the first time Tuchel has experienced that. He'll certainly get a lot of love, won't he? And it'll be the first time. And it'll be the second time and third time for some of the players who played under Frank when we were back at the Bridge. And for some of those who played against... who did we lose against away? And they were very influential, the crowd, early on in the season.
Everton.
Well done, well remembered, absolutely. When Everton influenced John Moss by every single time a player went over, crying foul when it was mostly Richarlison.
Handball!
Yeah, and all that Richarlison hurling himself to the ground. Yeah. He gave a wonderful, wonderful foul, Moss, I'll never forget, which was, I probably hope I forget, where Richarlison threw himself at whoever it was, hit him from the back with his head, hit the player in slow motion. He then fell over and lay on the ground, and he got the free kick, and he'd done nothing but hurl himself against the Chelsea player. It was that kind of game. And I hope that doesn't happen again tomorrow. Bloody hell. But who's the ref, by the way?
Do you know what? I didn't look. Do you know Dino?
No, I'm not sure.
Somebody have a look and tell us. Oliver?
Is it? That would be nice. Yeah, he seems to be as normal as you could possibly hope for on a referee.
I think might be.
At least it's not Taylor. My God, I hope that never happens again. It can't. He can't do a third, can he? No. For any excuse.
Michael Oliver is the
ref. It is Michael Oliver. Crikey, yes, well, I don't know where I pulled that out of. But so, Dino, what do you reckon? I mean, experience counts in finals sometimes. I think the real difference might be the fact there are 20,000 fans inside the stadium. You know, of course, the trouble is only 6,250 of them will be Chelsea fans.
Yeah, but we can shout for 4,000 more.
Yeah,
least.
But I'm thinking there are basically 12,000, just over 12,000 partisan fans in there, and you know, nearly 10,000 non-partisan fans. And I wonder what that will do for the atmosphere. I wonder what 20,000 fans inside somewhere as big as Wembley. I mean, God Almighty, when it's full, it's hard enough to create an atmosphere in there because the acoustics are so poor. It's going to be really weird, but I do wonder if it will make a difference, Dean.
I don't think it will. I think because both teams have the same sort of number of fans, you know, sort of have the same sort of balance and effect. I think it'll have a much bigger impact on the top four when, you know, teams play in front of home crowds.
That could play in our favour, couldn't it? A lot, actually, on Tuesday. It's a good point.
Yeah, I think they'll
be interested to hear what chant Tuchel gets.
He's the trainer and he's number one.
Funnily enough, no, Chidge.
Oh, no. Get it going, man. It's a genius song.
I will. I'll do it. Give me the lyric. I'm happy to do it.
I have to dig it out. I'll send you the recording.
I'd love it. Because I think it's going to be something like Tommy Tuchel.
Oh, Tommy, Tommy. Tommy, 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 Tommy,
Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy,
Tommy, Tommy,
Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy, Tommy Yeah.
Tommy Tuchel. Tommy Tuchel.
People will go Tuchel or Tuchel or whatever because people don't quite know how to say
it. Up the Tuchels.
Remaking the Tommy Baldwin song, I think, is the best choice for Tuchel.
His name is Tommy Tuchel. He's the leader of the team. What team?
What team?
The finest football team that the world has ever seen. Win!
I used to listen to that. What? Even when I was in the shed, I used to listen to that and not know what it was. That I used to go, oh, it's that song. I don't know what it is. I don't know which one it is. It went on and on and on. People would keep it going and keep it going and keep
as
it going.
As you know, I have a rather large lung capacity. As a consequence, you know when you probably don't know this, JK, but I would never presume, but in the good old days when we'd be in the pub and, you know, whoever it is, give us a song, whoever it is, give us a song, and you'd have to stand on the table and sing a song. My chosen song would always be the Tommy Baldwin song.
Brilliant.
I just love that song.
Well, the advantage is that you could just keep going.
Well, it was kind of serendipitous that it would be my favourite song because I'm very few people who can keep the going on as long as I can, but there you go. Anyway, as always, we digress. Dino, how's it going to work? How's it going to go tomorrow? And what do you reckon the score is going to be?
It's going to be a very close game, low scoring, maybe 0-0, or then an extra time win for Chelsea.
No, really?
I don't want to say penalties, but it'll be close.
No, well, you don't want to say penalties like Chris Waddle does either, but both ways, I get it, mate. I really hope not, Dino, because, I mean, this is the trouble, you know. I could probably deal with that better if I was there and I'd had a few beers and I was with people I love. I'm going to be sitting in my living room. Sarah will probably disappear. I might try and persuade her to watch it with me tomorrow, though I have a suspicion she might be rather annoying, so maybe I just won't say anything. But I don't like watching football on TV, and when it's this big, it's just unbearable. And the longer it goes on being unbearable, the more unbearable it is. So I hope not, but I have a feeling you might be right. JK, what about you, mate?
I think we're going to win easily.
Oh, no, don't say that! No, don't say that! Please don't say that. We'll have Simon on Twitter going potty, mate. Don't do it.
No, I know. He'll say it's that jinx. It's that jinx, Jonathan Kidd again. Yeah, Jonathan Kidd again. He's jinxed it.
I'll tell you what. If
the old man that said it.
What?
It was the old man that said it.
Yeah. If he does, if I tell you, if you say that and it comes true, it'll be me on Twitter telling you to go and fuck yourself, mate. That's for sure.
2-0. I haven't said anything.
2-0. 2-0 to the Chelsea.
Yeah.
2-0 to the two Chelsea. Yeah, definitely. Okay. I mean, to be really honest, and trying to be slightly objective here, which is not easy, as we all know. We play at our best. We are a better team than Leicester. If we don't get mugged off by bad luck, like injuries like last year, or bad VAR decisions, or
somebody sent off.
Yeah, a sending off like last year.
Bad penalty.
You know? Yep. I back us to beat Leicester. I mean, I hear what Jake said. They are a good side. I think, you laid those two teams out on paper. We are a better side. And I think we've got much more depth on the bench. And I think that could be important.
Yes, so, I disagree with him saying that you couldn't tell any difference between the two sides.
Yeah, but Jakey's biased, isn't he? He's got to say that, really, isn't he? But I don't agree with him. But then maybe we're biased, you know, who knows. But I think we are on paper. If we turn up, play to our potential, and we get, the rub of the green, which you need in a cup final, then we will win it. But I do think it'll be tight because, same old mantra, really. We don't let many goals in, but we don't really score many. So if we do win, it'll be 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, something like that. So I think 1-0. 1-0 is such a wonderful, classic FA Cup final. In fact, I should have done my homework and worked out how many times we've won 1-0. We could do it now. We could do it now. And then if we get it wrong, people can coat us off on Mixer. Let's work backwards, shall we?
And City beat Leicester 1-0 in the 1969 Cup.
But I'm talking about us. So Man United.
Okay.
Man United, right? That's the last time we won 1-0, isn't it? Eden Hazard, that's 1-0. Portsmouth, we beat Portsmouth 1-0. Everton, we beat 2-0, didn't we?
Yes. No, 2-1. 2-1.
2-1, that's right, because Sahar...
They scored in the first minute.
Not Sahar, the other one. It always used to score. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, you're right, that was 2-1. So that's two so far. 2000? Was that 2000? Was that 1-0?
Everton 1-0. At Villa 1-0.
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah.
90
when Drogba scored 1-0.
Yeah. So I think that's a classic Chelsea FA Cup final score. So I am going for 1-0 to the Chelsea.
But will it be an early 1-0 with lots of shitting?
Just to piss me off, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to get really pissed tomorrow and watch it. I think it's the only way.
We'll score in the first 5 minutes and just keep it going, God, and then
hang on and hang on. God, I just can't bear it. I've got a whole bloody fridge right next to me full of beer. I'm going to finish it tomorrow, and I'm going to anaesthetise myself. I think it's the only way to do it, because I'm finding this all rather unbearable having to watch this on the telly. So there you go. All right, we need to wrap up. Really, I have to say it's been a lot of fun tonight. I've really enjoyed it. It's cheered me up, actually. Cheered me up. I've been double jabbed today. Had to go to West Ham close. Wasn't looking good, but I'm feeling fine. I'm going to have a crash later, aren't I, JK, you reckon?
You haven't become a West Ham fan, have you, by doing
that? They infected me with a West Ham virus. I hope not.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
You need to make another sign, Chidge, for not close enough, and put it underneath.
Right. Well, I could end up like Alf Garnett, which I suppose might be a bit worse. Some would say I already have, but it's not true. Right, we are going to wrap up. It's been brilliant seeing these boys. Always, always is. JK and myself will be back on Monday for the Monday Chelsea Fancast, and we will be joined by Tony Glover and Martin Wickham. Now, Tony, like me, will be watching in a padded cell, I suspect, tomorrow in deepest Hampshire. Martin, we know, is there and is very excited to be there. So it'll be interesting to get their different perspectives on the FA Cup final. And, of course, we'll be looking forward to Tuesday night's huge Premier League match against Leicester as well. Dino, quick shout-out, really, for you, because we love you, and also for your brilliant Went to Mo King's Meadow podcast. You've got a very big Sunday too, haven't you, of course? As we all have, to be fair, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, just a small matter of the Champions League final on Sunday evening. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. It's on BT Sport, which is free to air for the game. Chelsea are streaming it on Facebook and YouTube and everything. So no excuses not to watch and support the women, hopefully getting their first trophy, a European trophy.
And congratulations to Fran Kirby for winning the Football Writers Association's award for best woman player. Weirdly, as I was saying to you on Discord earlier on, I don't remember getting asked to vote for that, which is odd, because I'm a member of the FWA, and I can tell you all that I voted for Mason Mount in the FWA Player of the Year. So it's really odd that I didn't get a vote for the women's. I can't understand why, but well done, Fran. I voted for her on the Chelsea website one this week, so there you go. What do you think of that?
Yeah, she's been, far and away the best Chelsea player this year, and should win the Ballon d'Or as well as best player in the world.
I hope so.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, she's brilliant, as they all are. An amazing team. JK, my dear old thing, absolute delight to see you as always.
Thank you so much. Lovely to be on the show with Dean and Jake. Thank you. Really enjoyed it.
Enjoy yourself tomorrow at Wembley.
I'll try not to be pessimistic. I'm not, though. I'm positive. We're going to win.
Yeah,
I will. It'll be, I think the whole thing will be intriguing, just watching football again, but also with so few people, and I'm not even sure what will be happening when I'm getting there. I know whether they're running the same trains or everything. So let's let's work that out. I'm not sure whether to get there very early. How long is it going to take to get in, given that we've got to show all our COVID test successes, or the fact that we're not negative, and whether that means they're going to keep people occupied. You've got to take an identity card as well, or whether that gets you through pretty quickly. I suppose with the small number of people going, it means it's not going to actually take you long to get in, but
they'll find a way, mate, don't you worry.
Whether there'll be the same frisking, what would they, whether they still be looking into every orifice as to whether you brought something you're not supposed to have brought in with you. So it'll be certainly be an experience going to the game. Yeah,
don't forget a bag no bigger than an A4 piece of paper.
Well, I won't be taking a bag. Smaller than that, isn't it? It's a post-it note size bag.
No, it's an A4, I think. But I know you. You'll be there. Steel toe caps, Harrington jacket, no colours, small badge, lump of celery.
Shaven head.
Yeah, absolutely. Full 9 yards.
Celery hidden in my orifices to take out. And
no, I thought down the front of your pants, mate. Come on,
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And confuse anybody, the metal detector.
Completely.
It's that scene out of Spinal Tap, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, it's a salami, but it's not. It's a piece of celery.
Celery, mate. Yeah. Oh, dear. This kind of, that sums up this show, really. How utterly brilliant. And I hope you get rid of that cough, mate. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate.
Yeah, all right. Well, look, you enjoy it, mate. Take care of yourself. Don't do anything silly. And bring it back for us on Monday, JK.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. Now, before I go, Kyle, who has been in Mixlr listening to this very show, has said, give a shout out to my dad, Chris, which I am doing now. Chris, good luck for tomorrow, mate, and good luck to you too, Kyle. Let's hope we bring it home. It's about time we won the cup again. I mean, it's only been a few years since we last did, and that's just not good enough. But wherever you may be watching it tomorrow, whether you're at the stadium tomorrow, whether you're at Wembley or wherever you are in the world, have a lot of fun, enjoy it, drink heavily, enjoy us winning another FA Cup. I certainly hope we do. Right, thank you for listening. See you on Monday. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea.
Up the Chelsea!
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.